Let the church say amen. Let everybody say amen. That's better. You know, I was wanting to comment on the heels of Brother Miles there commenting on Brother Bill's prayer. And it just seems just a little while ago when Brother Bill wouldn't even open his mouth too much. But now he has wonderful prayers for us. And Brother Miles gave that spirit-raising song to bring me on, and Brother Bell gave me 30 minutes to an hour to preach in his prayer. So I got time this morning. I can either do it short or I can do it long. So I'm going to do my best to fit somewhere in between those two. This morning, God is good. And all the time, God is good. So we know that God is good, and we know that we should be appreciative to everything that God does for us. God didn't have to wake us up this morning. When you got up this morning, you had food to eat, and you had a roof over your head, heat in your house, and you ought to be thankful for that. You ought to be thankful for everything that God has given you. And for some reason, we tend to hinge on what we don't have when we ought to focus on the things that we do have and be thankful for what we do have. This morning, let us take a moment and go to God in prayer. Dear Lord, our God and our Heavenly Father, thank you for this blessing that you have given us, the opportunity that you have saved for us in our lives, O Lord. You have given us this new day that we've never seen before. You have given us the ability and the opportunity to come out and worship Thee one more time, O Lord. At least we have this one more time, and we pray that we shall have many more times in the future. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for this day as we come praying and thanking you for all of your blessings. Father, we thank you for the blessing that the little things that we sometimes overlook in our thankfulness to you. We just sometimes forget about those little things, that air that we breathe out and that we breathe in. We tend to forget about them, Lord, but we know that it's a necessary thing that we need, and we need to breathe, and we need to thank you for every breath that you give us. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for food, shelter, and clothing. Thank you for the church itself, especially this local congregation here at Stony Island. We pray for the leaders of this congregation and their families, and we thank you. We thank you for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far, and we pray for each and every one that shall come beyond this point after and on. Thank you, O Heavenly Father, for each and every family member that's represented here today. We thank you for our visitors as well as our members. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, that we may tip the scales in somebody's favor this morning, that they may find favor enough to come before the throne of grace this morning. We pray, O Heavenly Father, that for those who are standing a guilty distance from God's throne, that they may come forward this morning. We thank you, O Heavenly Father, for everything that you do for us. And we pray for those who are at our beck and calls when we need them, O Lord. We thank you for everything that you have been to us and everything that you have made us to be, O Heavenly Father. And we ask you to continue to bless us in the name of the one who went up Calvary's hill to hang on yonder's cross. We continue to ask all these and many more blessings. Let the church say, amen. This morning, my son-in-law is in the audience this morning, and we're glad to have him with us. And I may have mentioned it to at least one or two of you that my daughter and her family, my son-in-law and my daughter and their family are moving back here after being gone for over 20 years. And I'm just so happy to have him here with us this morning, and I want you all to make him feel welcome. He's been here before, so just extend your hand of fellowship to him when you see him at the back. This morning we want to talk about addicted to the Spirit. We live in an age of addiction. People are addicted to alcohol. People are addicted to drugs. People are addicted to tobacco. People are even addicted to prescription medication. Some are even addicted to themselves. In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 2, read it if you don't believe me, it speaks of men becoming lovers of themselves. But how often do we see someone addicted to spiritual matters? In order for one to be spiritually addicted, they need to be filled with the Spirit and know and follow the teachings of the Lord, our Savior, Jesus Christ. So when one becomes addicted to spiritual things, the most important thing in their lives becomes how to serve God and how to do His will. Being addicted to the Spirit is not a bad thing. That's a good addiction to have. It will make our lives much better off. So when we look into this lesson this morning, the scripture text is taken from Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18 and 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 15. We'll touch on them at a later point. But I just want you to understand one thing this morning, church. Being addicted to spiritual things is a good thing. Because when you're addicted to spiritual things, Jesus will become first in our lives. When we look at the disciples, then we know that according to Peter in Luke 18 and verse number 28, he said, "We have left all and followed thee." One should never be ashamed of following Jesus, whatever we have given up for Christ. For Jesus told us in John chapter 10 and verse number 10, "A thief comes to steal and kill to destroy, but I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." Whatever one feels that he or she has given up, she is leaving Jesus, he or she is leaving for Jesus. Jesus shall make sure that you get even more in this life and in the world to come. In Acts chapter 24, chapter 2, verses 44 and 45, most of us should be familiar with these two verses, for it speaks of the early believers. In verse 44, and it says, "And all that believed were together and had all things in common." In verse 45, "And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need." This is the history of the early church. They showed up for church. They followed the doctrine. They prayed. They helped each other out when one was in need. And I like verse number 47 too, where it says, "Praising God and having favor with all the people." And I made in my notes, I underlined the word "all." Now, all doesn't leave anybody out, does it, church? All means all. So they were praising God and having favor with all the people. Now, I know there probably was somebody or someone that did not like somebody else in the church back then, just like we do now. But the Bible doesn't speak on them not liking one another. It said they had favor with all the people. So we won't let that concern us about those who don't like one another this morning, because we know that there are some that can't stand one another, but yet they call themselves Christians. What we need to do is to become so addicted to the Word of God that all we see is the God that we serve, His goodness, and we need to give. I may as well throw this in there. We need to give till it helps, not till it hurts. Some people say we need to give until it hurts. But some of us need to give till we can see that it's good. Some of us like to check the next person out next to us. I want to see how much they gave. Well, it's none of your business how much they gave. Are you giving like you should be giving? I gave more than that person who sits across the bench from me. Doesn't make any difference. That person has to deal with God just like you will have to deal with God. That one campaign said that we should give till it hurt. But I say we ought to give to the church. Giving to the church should never hurt. You ought to be happy to give to the church because we are giving back to God what He has allowed us to use. And sometimes I think when I see the matter of the finances of a different of churches in general, not just this one, but I speak to this one because this is the one that I owe my allegiance to. I think sometimes that some of us, we think that if I give too much, something is going to happen to the money. But I got some news for you. That's not your concern. Your concern is to give like God has prospered you. Your concern is not to give the way you see somebody else giving, but give as you have been prospered, as God has prospered you. Do you remember that one of Paul's greatest desires? And I want you to turn over there with me to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through verses number 10. Just for a moment, if you will. Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 10. Watch what the Bible says. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, being made conformable unto His death. Now, we all need to become addicted to spiritual matters and spiritual things so that we can be like Paul and consider that Christ, everything that I gave up for Christ is but gain. Not my loss, but my gain. Then the Bible will become the most important book of all to us when we become addicted to spiritual matters. The Bible is the best-selling book of all time, so they say, but it is not the most read of all times because you can tell that by the way the world is going. Do we find it as exciting as David found it in Psalms number 119 and verse number 97? Where he said, oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Some of us don't pick it up at all. But David said, I meditate on it all the day. He loved it for he knew it was something to live by. He knew it was a book to be obeyed. But most importantly, he knew it was God's word. And he described it in verse number 105 of Psalms number 119. He said, as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The Bible will show us the way if we but just allow it. The Bible will show us which way to go if we but just simply follow it. And you know something? He only had the Old Testament to read from. And he didn't have all of that. Can you just imagine what it would have been like what we have to, if he had had what we have today? Jeremiah was so addicted to it that he said, God's word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones. Jeremiah had his heart was like a burning fire, shut up in my bones. He couldn't get enough of it. When something has a burning effect on you, you can't forget about it that easily. It was such an important book to the Bereans. In Acts chapter 17, in verse number 11, the Bible says they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scripture daily. Not once a month, but they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. We need to read the Bible more. I know that I don't read it enough, and I'm be the first one to admit to you that I don't get as much time to read the Bible as I probably should. So, but my question to you is, do you read it enough? We need to love, and most importantly, we need to live out its teachings. We need to become spiritually addicted. Now, in Ephesians chapter 5, in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, in verse number 18, in verse number 15, we see that the first fruits of Achaia, and that they had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Now what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying that we need to be addicted to spiritual matters. And then in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 18, it says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm simply saying what the Bible said. We need to be filled with the Spirit. And so that means we need to become addicted to spiritual things and spiritual matters. And when we do, when one is spiritually addicted, we learn that doing God's will become our priority. In our text, the Bible speaks of two people who were addicted there in 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 15. We see these two who were addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They were devoted to serving the saints. They were willing to serve the Lord and teach others about the Lord. Modern day saints would do well to be like those believers of yesterday, submitting themselves to that which is important. Take note of God's word in Matthew chapter 6, in verse number 32, where in part it reads, "For us to seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Whatsoever you do, seek that which is important first, and that is God." There are some instructions we need to follow. Turn over with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and verse number 2. The Bible says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God." These are simply put, these are instructions for living righteously. These help us to live right, that we might die right, and that we may get up right. There's little doubt that we all are going to die one day. So while we're living, why not live right? Why try to live wrong and then think you're going to die right and get up right? Looking back at something I mentioned a little while ago about helping others. Helping others does not always mean giving money to others. Because I know some folk who wouldn't give you a quarter if you begged them for it. I'm not saying that's anybody in church now. I'm just simply saying I know folk that have money but won't help nobody out except themselves. We can encourage and strengthen people by praying with them and praying for them. We can encourage them by being a light that shines that they may see the Lord in us. You know, and we like to let Christians know that we're Christian. Well, if I see you at church and I can see your demeanor, I probably got an idea that you might be a Christian. Isn't that right? But you need to reach out to those who are not Christian, especially those who don't believe in the Lord. Let them know that you have a shining light and that you are serving God. So when you think about it, when we can encourage one another by simply praying with and for them. We can encourage them by being that light that shines that they may see the Lord in us. According to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 10, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I underline good works. Which God before have ordained that we should walk in them. But you walking in good works. Walking in good works. God did not put us here to do bad work, but to do good works. We are created in Christ and we should walk in these good works. Now somebody might ask, well, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you what it doesn't mean. It doesn't mean that we do good work for a little while and then stop. It means that we are to keep on walking in good works. Some folk like to do something good and then stand back and tell you about how good they've been. That's not good work. You did a good work. Let the Lord recognize you for it. I don't need to recognize you for it. I'll call your name every now and then, but you need to let God know that everything is all right by doing good works. That you're all right with Him by doing good works. We need to continue to walk in good work. Visiting the widows and the orphans. According to James 1:27, it's called pure religion and undefiled before God. When one becomes addicted in spiritual matters, he then understands the importance of staying close to God. I often hear people saying, and I'm sure you've heard it before, child, you can't be God-giving. But yet they don't live by that same token in their lives. They don't live by that same saying. Do you know how good God has been to us? Do you know that it was God who woke us up and got us up this morning? Do you know how good God was to let us see this day? Do you appreciate how good God has taken care of us? Some of us He's given a job, and some of us have had several jobs in our lifetime. Stop focusing on what you don't have and instead be focused on what you do have. Life sometimes brings good things, but life sometimes may bring bad things just as well. Some or all of your health, you may have good health. Some may not have good health at all, but if you got a reasonable portion of your health, you ought to be thankful to God for what you do have. He gave us food, shelter, and clothing. Food to eat and clothing to put on our backs. Tell God better. Show God how thankful you are by living and doing what He wants us to do. I'll tell you something, church. When you let God handle your life, God is the best manager of life that you've ever seen and that you can ever have. When I think about what the text says once again in Ephesians 5 and verse number 18, the Bible says, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." Now that means you ought to let God be in you and let the Spirit work in you. And you know, when I think about folk that are sick, they would like nothing better than to get better. Isn't that right? When I think about those who don't have any money, they would like nothing better than to have a few dollars to pay their bills and to buy food and the necessities of this life. When I think about those who don't have what others have. They ought to consider that. Thank God for what you do have. When I look at all of this world, and I see where this world is, in the direction that this world is headed into, I think about all the goodness that God has placed in this world. I think about all the goodness that He has left us to enjoy. None of us can create what God has already created. So maybe the term should be, none of us can recreate what God has already created. When I look at how beautiful the sky is, how refreshing the waters are, how good it is to know the Lord, how good God is to us. And then when I consider some of us, we're not good back to God at all. We don't think about anything but ourselves, some of us. That's why I told you some of us men are addicted to themselves. But you know, you can't live in this world thinking you're the best of all and the greatest of all. You need God. God is the one who touches you every morning and gets you up. God is the one who gives you air to breathe. God is the one who gives us water to drink. God is the one who gave us His Word to live by. But yet, many of us don't consider God in our daily walks at all. We'd rather consider that I'm walking this walk all by myself and I don't need anybody else. But you do. You think sometimes to yourself that God is not doing anything for me. Some folk do, because they never acknowledge Him. They never say, thank you, Lord. Sometimes that's all that's necessary, is to simply say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have done for me. Thank you for what you are doing for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for that blessing that you gave me. When I was thirsty, you gave me water to drink. When I was hungry, you gave me food to eat. Thank you, God, for everything that you have done for me in this life. And I know one day, this life is going to end for any and all of us. But we need to live it right while we're here. There are no do-overs in life. Once it's over, it's over. Once we have left this earth, it's over. Once we go into the ground instead of on the ground, it's over for us. And I just know that God is good to us. And God is always good to us. Amen, preacher. And I think sometimes just how wonderful He really is. And I think to myself, I haven't always been the best that I could be or that I can be. But then I look back and I reflect back and I say to myself, I may not be what I ought to be, but I'm, thank God, I'm not what I used to be. And neither are you, or you shouldn't be. But I just thank God for each and every day that He gives me in this life. And you ought to thank Him too. And how do you thank God? Well, you become a member of His body. If you're not a member of His body, you come by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But if you've already taken those steps, and you need to recommit yourself to the Lord, You ask the Lord to forgive you, and you ask the church to pray for you while we together stand and sing the song of invitation.